Would you again join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God and our eternal Father in heaven, we praise Thy great and holy name. We come confessing, Father, that Thou art God and the only one worthy of worship. And we come confessing as well that we are poor and needy sinners in need of Thy mercy and grace. And Father, we pray that You give us Thy Holy Spirit to lead and direct our thoughts and minds this day, that we might indeed worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray again for the sick, the afflicted, the poor and needy, especially, Father, those of this body and of our loved ones. We pray that You'd restore health and well-being to each one, that we might serve Thee acceptably in this old low ground of sin and sorrow. We pray now, Father, that You'd bless us in the study of Thy Word. I pray that You'd bless me to preach the gospel. Bless each one of us to hear and to understand Your message. Grant that we'd walk closer to Thee in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Call your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And I want to read just the 46th verse to begin our studies this morning. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And this passage of Scripture contains the last words of Jesus spoken on the cross. You know, men have always put high stock in the last words of men. And indeed, men, knowing that they're about to die, want to express something that they can leave behind, and hopefully it is for the good of those who hear. With Jesus Christ, we have to say that these are His last words on the cross, because in 3 days He's going to begin to speak again. But I think it is essential for us to see the lessons that He's teaching in this. So we read Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. God's Word says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Now, the Gospels record 7 utterances or 7 sayings of Jesus on the cross. No one writer records all of them. Different writers have recorded different parts of those to really show Jesus according to their purpose. When we look at all those 7 sayings, we see that 3 of those sayings were addressed to those gathered round the cross. He spoke once to that one of the thieves on the cross when He told him, "This day thou shalt be with Me in paradise." He spoke to His mother and He spoke to John, and in effect commended Mary into the care and keeping of John. He spoke to those around Him and He said, "I thirst." 3 of the sayings of Jesus were addressed to God. And He, first of all, prayed that God would forgive those very ones who were putting Jesus to death. And then in His agony, He calls on God and says, "Why hast Thou forsaken Me?" And this that we'll look at today, His final words, when He speaks to His Father and commends His Spirit into His hands. One of those sayings, I believe, was addressed to all creation. Now, certainly it was a message for those who gathered round the cross. But I believe it was a statement before God, His Heavenly Father, before angels in heaven, before the devil and all his demons, when Jesus cried, "It is finished." And all creation needs to hear and understand that message, that the work of redemption, the work that the Father gave Jesus to do, all the will of the Father concerning Jesus Christ, it's all been finished on the cross. And then, having stated that it's finished, it is complete and it is full, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now, I have been in the presence of folks when they were dying and near death. I've yet to hear one speak with a loud voice. Those who are approaching death are generally weak and unable to. Sometimes you just have to get right down next to them to even understand what they were saying. But Jesus, near His death, He speaks with a loud voice so that all around can hear. You know what that tells me? There was no weakness in Jesus Christ. He was not growing weaker and weaker until finally life would depart from Him. He was in control of everything, even though He hung on the cross. He had the power, if He so chose, to come down off of that cross like those Jews charged Him to do. But He would do the Father's will, and only when the Father's will was done would He willingly give up His life. So that loud voice, I believe, was a triumphant cry. Just as Jesus said, "It is finished." It was a triumph. It was not defeat, as some want to make it. But it was a victory cry. And as He commended His Spirit into the hands of the Father, it declared His power and His victory. This particular saying, and in fact, if you study all those seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, they have an Old Testament connection. You can find that Jesus is either directly quoting or referring to prophetic passages in the Old Testament of Him. Now, we talked a little about in Bible study this morning. That tells us that God had a purpose and God had a plan. And He was bringing that to fulfillment. Again, there are those in the world who want to tell us that Jesus came with a purpose, but because men rejected Him, He had to go to a plan B or something of that nature. No, God is working His plan and He's proven it to us. He prophesied hundreds of years ago, and now here's the fulfillment of it. This particular passage comes from the Psalms, Psalm 31, a Psalm of David. I want to read the first five verses of Psalm 31. David said, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness." Now, I understand that these are the words of David, and they have application to the life of David. But in prophecy, David speaks of Christ. And Christ has put His trust in His Heavenly Father to the degree that He would go to the cross and die. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the ultimate trust in God. He said, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, that for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Now notice that Jesus said to the Father, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." David said, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." Now, I don't know how much difference in the language there is there. But David, speaking in his own behalf, is simply trusting in God and confessing the fact that I'm yours, Lord. And I'm trusting you to do with me as you will. Jesus' words, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." That word "commands" means to present, to deposit for care, to commit. So basically the same meaning. But when Jesus said those words, His meaning was that I'm laying down my life and I'm giving it to you. It's something willing. No man took Jesus' life. He willingly laid down His life. He gave it into His Father's hands. Now, I want to show, the Lord willing and the Holy Spirit being my guide, what is demonstrated in Jesus' words and in His actions here. And first of all, when Jesus says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," it indicates that Jesus is back in fellowship with God. And you may say, back in fellowship? Was He ever out of fellowship? Well, yes, He was. If you notice His sayings on the cross, in His first address to God, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His next utterance unto God was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So there in the beginning, when He pleads for forgiveness, He's in fellowship with His Father. But as He takes our sins upon Himself, as He's dying in our stead, He must bear the penalty of sin. And I tremble to say this, but as He cried unto God, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" God saw Jesus as a sinner. He was taking my place. It was just like God was looking down at me. And He was the righteous judge, showing His hatred of sin and pouring out His wrath of sin upon Jesus. And Jesus was in agony and He could not address Him as Father, but only as my God. But now, after He's declared it is finished, He's back in fellowship and He addresses Him as my Father. You know what that means to us? That God was satisfied. That all the righteous demands for sin had been met. And once again, Jesus is in the relationship with the Father. And don't ever forget that we were in Christ at that time. So He's bringing us into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." I think there is a sense in which all things are in the hands of God. He's the Creator, the Ruler, the Sustainer of all things, and there's nothing that's going to take place that's beyond the control of God. Now, I don't think God is pleased with everything that happens, but for His own righteous purposes, He suffers those things to happen. He has the power to stop them anytime He wants to. But when Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," Jesus willingly gave Himself into the hands of men. Read with me in Luke chapter 24, verses 6 and 7. Now, this is following His resurrection. But notice Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 6. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now, Jesus had already told the disciples, "I must be delivered into the hands of sinful men." They were the instrument that God used to bring about His purpose. But now, having fulfilled God's purpose, He's out of the hands of sinful men. They could only go as far as death, and beyond that, they could not reach Him. But He had power over death, and now He's no longer subject to the whims of those sinful men. Jesus' words assure us that He has power over death. As I've already alluded to, Jesus willingly gave His life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus spoke as our good shepherd, in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus could willingly lay down His life. Now, you may argue that men have the power to lay down their life, only so far as God allows. I have known of a number of people who were determined to commit suicide, and they failed time and again. They didn't have the power to do it until God suffered it to be so. You could do all kind of things to try to take your life, but God can overrule every one of those. But Jesus could lay down His life, and He could take it up again. I'm going to assure you, if you're able to lay down your life, you can't take it again. It's gone for you, from you forever, unless Jesus is pleased to give it back. Jesus had that power. But He also had the willingness. He spoke of the good shepherd who gives His life for His sheep. So He willingly, graciously laid down His life for those chosen in Christ Jesus, that we might have life. And that speaks of our eternal security in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, we want to notice the words of our Savior. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And remember his words, "It is finished." So he accomplished that. "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all those which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Because he has power of his own life, he has the power of the life that is of all that are in him. All his chosen, all of the flock of whom he is the good shepherd, he has the power over their life. Jesus neither lived nor died for himself, but he died for his chosen people. His last act in dying on the cross was a representative death, as I've already alluded to. He was our substitute. He took our place. He died for us, but he also rose for us. And because he lives, we live also. And we are assured that Jesus has given eternal life, that he will raise us up at the last day. John chapter 10, we read verses 27 through 30. Again, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So Jesus is saying that the sheep are in my hand, and no man has power to pluck them out. I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck from his hand. So Jesus, having finished his work on the cross, said, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." There, with all his elect, is the security of the hand of Jesus, of the hand of his heavenly Father, preserving us until that day that Jesus comes to take us home again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I would like to read to you verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning at verse 3. Peter said, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So, by God's mercy, we're kept by His power, preserved in the hand of Jesus, preserved in the hand of our Heavenly Father, waiting for the day that He takes us home. Jesus commended His Spirit into the hand of the Father, and He commended us into the Father's care and keeping. I want to close by reading to you a passage in the Psalms in the 71st division. I want to read the entire Psalm. I know it might be a rather lengthy reading, but I want us to see the result of all that. Our attitude, because Jesus has commended His Spirit into the hand of the Father. Psalm 71, beginning at verse 1, the psalmist said, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear to me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thine honoring all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hath shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with a psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with a harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame that seek my hurt. God has blessed us in so many ways. He has given us such a great position in His kingdom. He has given us great power to serve Him. May we, as the psalmist, put our trust in Him. May we continually praise His great name, whether in times of affliction, in times of sorrow, in times of rejoicing, in times of great joy. We know that finally God will deliver us as He delivered His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Finally, we'll see His face in glory. We'll see His face in righteousness. And what a day that will be. May we faithfully serve God as we look forward to that great day of rejoicing, is my prayer for Christ's sake.